Genesis 37, starting with Joseph and Jacob, his father, as time allows, we shall consider some sons who love their parents. Last week, we considered some parents who love their sons. Now, some of those parents did not say they loved their children, but the Spirit of God commented that they loved their children, or one of their acquaintances or relatives made mention of the fact that they loved their children. But there are ways that you can tell when a son or a daughter loves father or mother. And so we're going to look at some of these tonight. 37, look at verse 3. Now Israel, that's his new name, Jacob's new name. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him. Do you see what I told you? They see that the father loves him more than all his brethren. And they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I rejoice at this opportunity to refer to Joseph again, because Jacob, like David, was a father who loved well, but not wisely. And in the case of David and Absalom and Adonijah, it turned out to be calamitous. But in this case, we shall see. Now, turn to chapter 43. I read to you again that Jacob loved his son Joseph. Now, so many years have transpired, and this is what happens. The famine has come up, and Joseph's brethren of necessity have gone down into Egypt, and now Joseph knows his brethren, but his brethren do not know Joseph. And in chapter 43, he is speaking to them in verse 27, and he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" And they said, "Thy servant, our father, is well. He is yet alive." Now, look again. Look in chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren cannot answer him. And now, look down at verse 9. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee." That's enough reading for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us speak about some being suddenly cut off, and that without remedy. And yet, in the case of others, the mistakes that we have made, the heartbreaks that we have caused in life, at times, we are permitted to heal those heartbreaks. We are thankful for this, our God. We pray that as we hear these words and are reminded of a son who loved his father, we pray, our God, that we shall think of those things in which we are remiss, and that we shall be good sons and daughters, and loving sons and daughters, like unto those whom we shall consider tonight in thy will. And so bless our study together, we pray. We look to thee. Prepare the hearts and the lips, and forgive and cleanse us from our sins, because I was promised to do this. And we ask this of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It seems as if no matter how hard some parents try to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when their children become of age, they leave. And you are not always to put the finger of blame on the parent. At times, as in the case of Jacob, as in the case of David, we see wherein the fault lay. But what happens is this, that at times, one can love his son well, as Jacob did Joseph, and his son turns out magnificently. Why? And you see another who loves his sons as much as Jacob loved Joseph, and he loves them no more wisely than Jacob loved Joseph, and his sons turn out ill and are dead before their father. The father buries the son. The natural thing is for the children to bury the father. But David had to bury Absalom, and then later on, Adonijah, his son, also did not die a natural death. Now, what I am doing is seeking to give some of you consolation. I would blame you if you are blamable, but at the same time, there are some who are not blamable. But no matter how hard they tried, their children did not turn out well. I would not give you this as an excuse, but somehow that is the way it is. And others have treated their children in a way that was completely unwise, that caused the brethren of this child to hate him, and everything seems to be as if Joseph would be spoiled and he would amount to nothing. And yet, we find Joseph turning out superbly and rising from slavery to a position of ruler of Egypt next to Pharaoh, in spite of the mismanagement of the love of his father, Jacob. Now, that is a remarkable thing. I wanted to tell some of you that, because do not think when you see your children failing that it is always your fault. It may very well be, but not always. And do not think as you look back over your life and say, I love my son well, my daughter well, but I did not love them wisely. Look at the way they are behaving. It does not mean that they of necessity will permanently turn out in a bad way. It was not so with Joseph. And here is Adonijah, but he did not love his father, though his father loved him to a great degree. And here is Absalom, and Absalom did not love his father, though David, his father, loved Absalom to a great degree. And yet here is Joseph, and as David loved Absalom, but Absalom did not love David, Jacob loved Joseph, but Joseph did love Jacob. And so there is no cut and dried explanation, but this is the way these things are presented to us in the Word of God. And so there is hope for you. You may love your children not well, and it may be that they will turn out like Joseph. That is my prayer. But most of the time they turn out like an Absalom or an Adonijah. And I would bring this out, that love is not always expressed in words, but it is expressed in deeds. Like this. When the woman who in the city was a sinner had been forgiven of her sin, she came and washed the feet of Jesus, wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet. The Bible says nothing about her doing that because she loved the Lord Jesus, until the Lord Jesus said, "Do you see this woman, Simon? She loved much." What she did was a manifestation of her love. And so it nowhere says that Joseph loved Jacob. But from the portions that I have read you, would anybody deny that Joseph loved Jacob, his father? You say, why, of course not. Think of this. I can show you that he was 17 years old the last time he saw his father. Now it has been 22 years and he has been separated from his father. And as soon as his brethren who know of their father's welfare come into his presence, he says, this old man that you told me about, is he yet alive? They do not know that he is asking of his father. They say, yes, he's alive. He is well. And it blesses Joseph's heart. And the next time he sees them, he is emotionally distraught. And he says to them, is my father yet alive? And they do not know what to answer. The thing that concerned Joseph was this father that indulged me, that spoiled me, that gave me the coat of many colors. I love him. I miss him so much. Is my father yet alive? And so this hope for all of you, you who have mismanaged the love that you have for your children, it may be that after 22 years, your sons will love you and want to be in your presence. Or it may be, if you mismanaged your love, that they will be like Adonijah and be guilty of incest, if possible. Or it may be that they are as Absalom, and they would displace you from your position of authority, and they would usurp the very throne that is yours by right. I cannot tell you, but there is hope. And so in this case, no matter how unwisely Jacob loved Joseph, Joseph turned out well, and Joseph loved his father. Now, I told you that love is not always manifested by words. Just as we have heard tonight, many people say, Lord, Lord, but they do not the things that Christ commands. And so it's not their words that tell of their acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ, but it is their deeds. And this woman who is washing the feet of Jesus and kissing his feet, it is her deeds that tell us that she loves the Lord Jesus. And in like manner, when after all of these years, the first thing that Joseph wants to know, is that old man that you told me about yet alive? Is he well? Joseph loves his father, Jacob. And now, this manifestation of love, I want you to understand it, that when the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, this includes a noble kind of love, because some people think of a weak affection, but there is a noble kind of love, and this noble kind of love involves the caring for your parents in their old age. It is reprehensible that children are looking to their parents and draining them of resources, whereas the Word of God teaches that the opposite should be so. When there are children, the parents should lay up for the children. But when the children reach maturity, we are told in God's Word, the children should requite their parents. And when children do requite their parents, that is a manifestation of love. And this was what was so reprehensible and condemned by the Savior when he saw these sons and daughters who should have cared for their parents in their old age. But instead of caring for their parents, they had worked out a way that they could take money that should have aided their parents and given it to someone else. They could speak the word korban. And then they are no longer responsible. But the Lord Jesus said, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. But you, by your circumlocutions, have found out a way to dishonor your father and your mother. And so the Lord Jesus said, part of honoring your father and mother is caring for their material needs. And one of the ways of manifesting your love and appreciation for what your parents have done is in their old age to provide for them, and in their old age to be near them and do what you can for them. Now, some of them will not allow it. I know that. I remember trying to do what I could for my mother, but she was determined to stay at 317 South Borland Avenue, not let anybody move in with her. That was the way she was. And what can you do? But I would come to see my mother, and I would requite my mother. And so I thank God, at least in that respect, in an outward show, I was able to show that I love my mother. I was able to requite my mother and my grandmother, because I remember this, and I can tell you, I never forget. I would be downtown, and my grandmother would be walking down the street, and I would see her, and I'd say, "Grandma, give me a nickel." And she would give me a nickel, and then you could go and buy an ice cream cone or all kinds sorts of candy with it. And grandmother would give me a nickel or whatever I might need, a dime. You used to go to the show for a dime. And my grandmother would give me that money. And later on in her old age, I was able to repay my grandmother and show her kindnesses. And I'm so thankful that when she died, I did not think of what I got out of my grandmother, save nickels and dimes as a little boy, and as my parents, my mother, later in life. And so I say you will think of these things, and you should remember your responsibilities. And Joseph, instead of saying, "My father, a despised Jew, I'm not even going to tell Pharaoh and the others that these are my brethren. It may somehow affect my position of leadership in Egypt." Instead of that, he let them know that he was an Hebrew. And when his father came down, he said, "I want you to go in and meet Pharaoh, the greatest ruler in the world." And so that is the honor that he has. Now think of your parents. Are you ashamed of them? Here is this old man, Jacob, and knowing his past history, there were many things to be ashamed of. And not knowing what Jacob would do, what solecism would be committed in the presence of Pharaoh, still Joseph said, "My father Jacob is come, and Pharaoh, I want you to meet him. The greatest man in the world, I want you to meet my father Jacob." And so this is the way that Joseph cared for his father. And his father spoiled him, and in spite of all of that, it did not destroy the boy. He remained moral. He kept his integrity. There was no hatred or vengeance in his heart, and he loved his father. And his father, in his old age, was requited by Joseph, his son. He said, "You come down. I'm going to give you the best location in Egypt, the land of Goshen. This is where you should live, and I want you to be near me, and I'm going to care for you in your old age." Now, I think of some parents and their children, and they have no such reminiscences. They see that their children are glad to get rid of them. And I read again and again of the way that children have taken the resources of their parents and left them destitute. But there is nothing like that in the case of Joseph and Jacob. In his old age, he has a son that loves him. And I could have told you of these things. I shall tell you rather than read about them. But it says that when Jacob came down to Egypt and lived there all those years, finally it was announced to Joseph, "Your father is sick." And his father died. And when his father died, he fell on his neck and kissed him. And here is another token of love of a child for a parent. His father had told his son where he wanted to be buried. And when his father died, after this great period of mourning, 75 days of mourning, then he goes to the cave of Machpelah, and then there is another 7-day period of mourning. And the people looked and they said, "This is a sore, grievous mourning of these Egyptians." Why? It's because their father Jacob was gone. And Joseph loved his father, and the last thing he did was this. He said, "Son, before I go, I want you to bury me in the cave of Machpelah. I want you to bury me with my loved ones. That is my request." And as soon as the embalming, and as soon as Joseph obtained leave of Pharaoh, the ruler, he said, "We're going back and fulfill my father's last wish." And my mother said something like that to me. She said, "Son, I want to be buried over next to your father. And when I'm buried, I want you to secure a headstone matching your father's headstone. And if you don't do it, I'm going to come back and haunt you." And so what I did was, when my mother died, I secured that stone. And now she has her request fulfilled. You say, "Well, anybody would do that." I have looked into my ancestors, and I've seen fathers who owned large tracts of land, and who in their wills left abundance of goods to their children. And I've gone to the family cemeteries, and I have not found any kind of stone for the man who did so much for their children. And so you remember this. It's inconvenient. It costs a little money. But if your parents have done all these things for you, then, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, requite your parents in their old age. Now, I want to show you something else that is rare. Another hope, another consolation for you. Turn to the book of Genesis again. Turn to Genesis and look in chapter 31. Genesis 31. As time allows, we have Joseph and Jacob and Isaac. In reverse order, Isaac begat Jacob and Jacob begat Joseph. But I take these three because if I do not complete it, you may follow it through and see which one loved his father the most. Did Joseph love Jacob the most? Did Jacob love Isaac the most? Did Isaac love Abraham the most? But now, let me show you this. And again, it is not Jacob who expresses this sentiment, but it is Laban. Let me give you a little background. Jacob has served his father-in-law and his uncle Laban for 20 years. And now he is sneaking away. In stealth, he is leaving his father-in-law and his uncle, and his father-in-law saddles up the animals and chases him, and finally he catches up with him. And this is what Laban says to him, verse 27, 31:27. Wherefore didst thou flee secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and didst not suffer me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now hast thou done foolishly. It is in my power, the power of my hand, to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take heed to thyself, that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because you sore longed after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my goods? Listen to those words. This is one of the mitigating forces. Why was it that you left me? It says, you sore longed after your father's house. Now, Jacob has been separated from Isaac, his father, for 20 years, and he is homesick, and he is longing to get home to see his father again. You say, well, that's natural. Oh, no. If you will remember, Isaac is the old blind father who was lied to, who was deceived by Jacob, who obtained his brother's blessing, and his brother planned to kill him, and he had to leave home. His mother, Rebecca, saw that. And here is what is so remarkable. It says that Isaac loved Esau, and it said Rebecca loved Jacob. But when Jacob returns home, Rebecca is dead, and he's longing for his father's house. His mother never gets to see him again. Remember this, that there are some mothers who, with stealth, love their children, will do anything to advance their children. And this is what Rebecca did. And she sends him off to save his life. And she sends him off, and she never sees him again. But now, Jacob longs for his father's house, and he's homesick, and so he goes back home. And even Laban, that heartless uncle of his, sees it, and he's the one that expresses it. Now, look in chapter 35. Look in chapter 35. He longs for his father's house. He sore longs for his father's house. And in chapter 5, it says in verse 27, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father to Mamre, Kiriath Arba, the same is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, old and full of days, and Esau and Jacob, his son, buried him. Now God is so gracious. There are some who have so badly treated their parents that they want to leave home and never see them again. But even though he lied and deceived his old blind father, he had been gone 20 years, and he said, I want to go home again. I so long for my father's house. And God graciously allowed him to go home, and if he is the age that I reckon, he was able to be with his father some 15 years. And so God gave him a chance to go and make up in his father's old age for some of the bad things he had done in his youth. He had lied and deceived his father, but now he comes back and he's able to show his father, remember this now, you have Abraham and you have Isaac and you have Jacob. This is the line of succession, and Jacob is the one through whom the blessing will come. And now Jacob comes home to his father Isaac, and he says, these are my sons and my daughters, and these are your grandsons and your granddaughters. And so now Isaac also, who did not know if he would ever see his son again, he got to see his son, and he got to see his grandson, the same way that Jacob said when he was ushered into the presence of Joseph. He said, I did not expect to see thy face again. I did not expect to see you alive again. And so, in some cases, what does the future hold? It holds the death of Absalom and Adonijah, because you loved well but not wisely. And in spite of all your faults, in spite of all the ways that you have had differences, your children have lied and deceived you, it may be that in your old age, after 20 years, it may be that your children will come back and love you and bring their children and set them before your eyes and say, do you see the blessing of God that you placed upon me? Well, here it has been fulfilled in me and in my children. And so there is hope. I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of Jacob coming home, longing to go home after he had been gone so many years. I'm thinking of those two sons in Luke chapter 15. There was a younger son, and the far country beckoned, and he said, Father, give me the inheritance that befalleth me. And he gave it to him. He divided unto the younger son and the older son all his living. And it says, not many days since, the younger son took all of his father's substance and went into the far country and spent it in riotous living, and he becomes destitute. But in destitution, even though he had so dealt with his father, it says he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I'm starving to death here? He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the resolve that he thought out in his mind is put into action, and he goes home. And then, just as Isaac received his son Jacob, who had dealt so badly with him, so in like manner, the younger son's father, who had been so badly dealt with by his younger son, he comes home, and his father sees him a great way off, and he runs down the pathway and embraces his son, and he kisses him and kisses him. And so this is what lay at home when the son decided to come back. And so there may be some of you who are at odds with your parents. Well, think of going back and rectifying your past mistakes. Tell them what you have done. Tell them the sins that you have committed. And if you're like Joseph and you're able, then requite your parents. And if you have sinned against them, as Jacob did against Isaac, go home and tell them that you're sorry and you love them. And in spite of their lack of love and their mismanagement of love, in spite of all those things, that things turned out well. And I love you, Father, and I want you to forgive me for the lies and the deceit and the shame that I brought upon your name. Because just as in the case of Jacob, when he went home, He went to see his father Isaac, and God gave him 15 years with him. So when this young son came home, willing, if my father would take me back as a hired servant, he was willing to take that position. When he came back, his father would not let him be a servant. His father exalted him. And I may add this, that God, your heavenly Father, is waiting for your return as well. You are his by creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you must be born again. And if you have sinned against your heavenly Father by creation, then he's waiting for you to come to your senses and return. And I guarantee you this, you will be welcomed and you will be forgiven, and God will exalt you to a place that you've never thought possible in the past. Deserving? No. Salvation by grace through faith. And this is the portion that God holds for us in his word. If we sin, yes, it can turn out as it did with Absalom and Adonijah. But if we sin, it may turn out as it did with Jacob and Joseph. May God grant the latter to us. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so thankful for all these examples that thou dost give us in thy word. We would not take comfort and say, we're guiltless, it is my child's fault. But if it were the child's fault, we're thankful that we have seen that children, when they have made mistakes, they come home. And we're thankful that we have seen that when fathers make mistakes, they have opportunities to straighten out things with their children. We are so glad that thou hast given us a book like the one thou hast, containing truth, because thy word is truth. All of thy word is truth. And so for the fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, may they be drawn to one another. And think now, and not in a time when it's too late, think back of what might have been, what could have been done, had they only loved and repented. But help us in time to set our house in order, to honor our fathers and our mothers, and to love our children. Let parents love their children, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.